Welcome to Corazont Technologies, home of the Digital Executive Podcast. Welcome to the Digital Executive. Today's guest is Dr. Roxi Mouni. Dr. Roxi Mouni helps health tech innovators uncover their most profitable and viable early adoption and pivot strategies. She transformed 20 years of business practice, 7 years of researching over 500 plus peer-reviewed articles, and 160 interviews with health innovators into a repeatable method to go from an idea to full-scale adoption. She's also the international best-selling author of How Health Innovators Maximize Market Success, Strategies to Launch and Commercialize Healthcare Innovations. Well, good afternoon, Dr. Roxi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
You bet. This is, again, I always tell new guests, and my readers know this, favorite part of the day, right? Jumping on a podcast with a new guest just inspires me. And Dr. Roxi, you inspire me as well. So we've been connected for a while on LinkedIn, and I'm really inspired by your career. You've traversed various industries. You've been quite successful in roles like director of marketing, strategic advisor, president. You speak at many events. Could you share with us what drives you to keep moving and changing the world?
Sure. So I think, you know, I've done a lot of personal discovery over the years. And one of the things that I identified, I took the StrengthFinders assessment years ago, and I discovered that one of my top five strengths, actually my number one strength, is achiever. And so I think that just inherently, I have this insatiable desire and drive to achieve things. And as soon as I check that off the list, I'm moving on to the next. And so, you know, that can be a good thing or a bad thing. Sometimes I have to, you know, remind myself to slow down and smell the roses and celebrate the previous achievements and successes that I've accomplished over the years. But just innately, I am always looking forward to the future in the next thing that I can achieve in my career.
That's awesome. I like that. And I think that's what inspired me when I first saw your video on LinkedIn. So I appreciate you sharing that. And I know a lot of readers will jump on and look at your Legacy DNA website and your podcast. So thank you. Dr. Roxi, I came across, again, one of your videos on LinkedIn. That's what really got me hooked on learning more about your company, which is Legacy DNA. I told you earlier that healthcare technology is near and dear to me, right? Could you tell us a bit more about how you help companies and leaders innovate?
Sure. You know, so I just kind of want to go back to the first question of being the achiever. So, you know, people can have the achiever strength in any industry and any vision or mission that they have in life. And so this kind of ties to the second question. So for me, I went back to school years ago to get my doctorate in business. And one of the first questions that they asked was, what is the business problem that you want to be married to for the next like 5 to 7 years of your life? And one of the things that I thought was so fascinating is I was seeing that we were on the precipice of this explosion of innovation in healthcare, but I came across this alarming statistic that over 95% of innovations that are brought to market fail to reach any adequate level of customer acceptance or financial ROI. And that just really hit me. And I struggled with how are we going to really fix the healthcare system and transform the industry if the majority of the ideas and the innovations that people, entrepreneurs have that they want to bring to market struggle to really, you know, get in the hands of the people that need them the most. And so this kind of, you know, ended up being an anchor moment in my life where I decided to dedicate the rest of my career to understanding the strategies and the tactics that innovators needed to maximize their success and to make sure that they were beating the odds and circumventing failure. And so over the last probably 3 to 4 years, we've transitioned from being more of a traditional healthcare marketing agency to being an innovation strategy company that comes alongside those health innovators. And, you know, through that work that I've done, developed a number of different frameworks, strategic frameworks to help innovators go from an idea to full-scale adoption. One of them is an early adoption framework that I've branded COIQ. That stands for Commercialization of Innovation Intelligence. And then the other one is a pivoting framework that, you know, we developed more recently.
I love that. And back to the statistics on, you know, why innovation project launches fail, right? A lot of times people don't, you know, bring in the patient, you know, or bring in the customer to get that real down-to-earth feedback. A lot of times people just do these things in a vacuum because they assume they know their customers or consumers. That's so appropriate. So thank you for sharing that. the big one here, right? We all had to shift. So this pandemic. So in this current world of a pandemic, what do you have planned for the rest of 2020 or 2021? We all had to shift. Did you have to shift your whole business model, or were you already set up to do business virtually?
Yeah, I think that is a very relevant question for all business owners and business leaders today, whether it's a startup or a mature brand, and no matter what vertical we're in, right? We're all been impacted by this global pandemic. You know, it's interesting. So I have a podcast and video show like you, and one of the benefits of talking to people that comprise my target market every day, every week, is you get a chance to really be able to stay close to the customer and hear almost in real time as their needs changed. And like you were talking about with co-creating with customers. So for the last couple of years that I've had the show, I've noticed that we talked a lot about early adoption and all of the strategies and tactics associated with that. But it became really clear to me within really the second week of March that the conversation was starting to shift, and it wasn't really being shifted by my guidance, but more of by the conversations and the questions and the challenges that, you know, my target market was talking about. And so I was able to see that they were struggling to figure out what moves that they needed to make during this crisis, and asking questions about, do they really have a viable or relevant business going forward? And so our team, you know, just really worked really tirelessly over a couple of weeks to put together this pivot kit, which was something that we hadn't thought of prior to the pandemic. And so utilizing, you know, a lot of the same ideas from the early adoption framework that we have put together, but taking into consideration some other components, is put together this strategic framework for helping health innovators pivot and figure out what's going to be their most profitable and their most viable pivot strategy. And that's really important because it's really hard to see clearly when you are inside the business. It's really hard to see how things are changing and what path you can take. And in really, a lot of times, startups or early stage companies have a tendency to move fast, right? So I just want to, like, you know, the pandemic's rocked my business, but I know I need to do something. I feel like there's a closing window of opportunity. Let me just pick a path and act. And that can end up being successful, but more often than not, really taking the time and kind of wrestling the different paths that we could take, I think is really important. And then also I find, you know, sometimes we might have a tendency to leave pivot opportunities on the table. So I think all of us have pivoted our sales strategy with, you know, all the doors closed and conferences and planes grounded, you know, but some people might need to pivot sales. Some people might need to pivot their entire business model. So part of our pivot was actually coming up with a pivot kit to help other businesses pivot well to make sure that they can survive and thrive in this new economy. And I envision that that'll be work that we'll continue to do throughout the rest of this year. Some companies have been able to pivot well, and others are still really struggling to figure out what's next for them. And I think what part of it, what makes it so challenging, is we've got, you know, we're back open and then we see this increase in new cases. And so there's just so much uncertainty. And I think we'll kind of ebb and flow with the pandemic. It's so unstable. It makes it more difficult for people to know what moves to make. So I think that's something that we'll be doing consistently through the end of the year.
Sure. No, that's some great insight. And I love the fact that you created pivot kits for your customers. I think that's definitely unique and interesting. So thanks for sharing. This is kind of the favorite part of the show for me. And I know some of our listeners really like to dive into who Dr. Roxy is. So Dr. Roxy, can you share something from your career experience that would be helpful for those looking either to grow their career or break into entrepreneurship?
You know, that's another great question. It's interesting. So there's just a small percentage of the population that have a doctorate degree. And that was something that was really never on my radar until I was in school getting my master's degree. And two of my professors, I say, planted these doctoral seeds and started watering them in the program from day one. And I was really hooked and committed to, you know, furthering my graduate education because of one thing that one of them said. So one of them had a consulting business and was also teaching and was able to have a lot of flexibility. So whenever they were being, you know, bidding for jobs and for work, that they had so much credibility and authority with having a doctorate in business. And then also they were able to teach. So being a lifetime learner myself, it was a way for me to be able to continue to give back, being able to stay in the classroom, but as a teacher, as a professor, instead of as a student. And then this is the beautiful part, Brian, is that then they said that if their consulting business wasn't doing well, they would just teach more classes. And if it was doing really well and they didn't want to teach, you know, no one cared. They could just take a few semesters off. And then this is the kicker. Then they would work really hard working on some projects with consulting clients, burning the candle at both ends, teaching a bunch of classes, and then take off of work for 2 months and just travel with their spouse. And I was just hooked right then and there. I said, okay, that's what I want. I want some of that in my life. So for me, my biggest recommendation that's changed my career is really going back to school and getting the education that allows me to have a very unique positioning in the marketplace. I don't know anyone else in the industry or in the country that has a doctorate in commercializing technology innovation in healthcare. So being laser focused on a single business problem and having both the expertise and the experience has created a very unique value proposition for me. And I think that that has been and will continue to be a game changer in my career. I would recommend for all of your listeners is don't be afraid to go deeper into being a subject matter expert, whether that becomes a doctorate degree or not. You know, that's really not important. That's just the path that I took. But, you know, creating that specialized expertise gives you a really strong competitive advantage that, you know, makes for a sustainable career going forward.
That's so inspiring. I appreciate you sharing that. And I know a lot of our readers will appreciate that as well. So thanks again, Dr. Roxy. Most appreciated. Dr. Roxy, I just want to thank you personally from the bottom of my heart. It was a pleasure having you on the show today. And I look forward to speaking with you real soon.
Thanks for having me, Brian. I appreciate it. It's been fun.
Bye for now.